Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman. There is a ton of stuff to get to. We appreciate everybody for listening, downloading the podcast, subscribing, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, all the different places you can get the Between the Ropes podcast. Always appreciate the support from everybody. There's a ton of stuff to get to between Raw and SmackDown this week. SmackDown, of course, moving to its new night on Tuesdays, going live. The WWE draft, and believe it or not, there is a WWE pay-per-view coming up on Sunday in Battleground, so there's a lot of things to get to.
Cruiserweight Classic?
The Cruiserweight Classic as well. So there's just a lot of stuff to get to. But first and foremost, we need to know, Mike. Uh-huh. I'm sure there's this massive heat wave that's going across the country.
There is, yep.
The president has even told all of us to make sure we drink plenty of fluids and stay out of the sun. And I know you are an avid intaker of fluids, especially of the adult beverage variety.
Okay. I see where you're going with this. So what are you asking me?
So I'm asking you, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. So, this week, went a little south of the border here. Brewed and bottled by Cerveceria Modelo Mexico. That's right.
Mm.
Going with a Corona Light.
Nice.
Yeah. There you go. Let's get this started. All right. There we go.
Very nice. I thought you were channeling your inner No Way Jose.
he's your future NXT champion.
So. He is. You know what, though? I will say this about Jose. That dude is good.
Yeah.
He's good, and he's only going to get better. And I will cop to this. If you ever need a fun pick-me-up high-energy song, especially during a workout, if you go to Spotify, you will find the No Way Jose theme song.
Really?
Yes, you will.
Interesting. So if you're so big on No Way Jose, why didn't you draft him in our fantasy draft last week?
Well, I only had so many spots, so there was only originally 30 and then the extra 10 from other promotions, which, by the way, I want to thank everybody because we put that out online, like our the draft that we did, our mock draft on last week's podcast. We put the list out on Twitter at Between the Ropes, and we asked everybody to vote. Team Fritz or Team Wiseman. And it was a resounding call to the audience that said 70% said Team Fritz had the better roster over Team Wiseman.
It's just because you played to them with your little internet wrestling darling draft picks. These guys who the IWC and the smart marks all flock to. And we know your roster is going to be, once AJ Styles gets bored and he's gone, and you get a few injuries on there, I'm, going to be the guy that's got the A show on Tuesday nights.
Well, I was drafting for not only the fans that buy tickets, merchandise, all those different things that support my brand, but I was also drafting for longevity, as well, because, when Brock Lesnar, does not get his contract renewed because of all his drug suspensions. And John Cena says that he wants to be the co-host for Live with Kelly Ripa and needs to further reduce his wrestling schedule, that you'll be losing two of your top stars while I will have a nice roster to continue to compete and, to the fans' enjoyment.
I will say, let's just call it a contentious vote last week. It is unsettled. It is unclear where our fans really feel. Like, I got a lot of very positive tweets.
Yeah, you did.
People saying that I had some pretty good talent on my roster, and I appreciate that. But, numbers aside, do you think that I did a better job drafting my roster than Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon did last night?
I absolutely do. So let's attack this in a lot of different ways, because there's a lot of things to get to when it comes to this draft, okay? So, first of all, we'll go back to Monday when we found out the GMs, Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was not surprised. Mick Foley, I did not see coming. It was something maybe we could have expected. I mean,
I don't think he saw it coming either, because he didn't know his lines out there.
Well, Stephanie didn't know her lines either, which was really strange. Like, for whatever reason, everybody was like off. And like, I think Stephanie was trying to ad lib, and normally she's very good at that. But for whatever reason, she was getting thrown off, and she was throwing the other people off to the point Mick was doing his lines, and he had to like stop and talk to Stephanie McMahon flat out to say, what am I supposed to say here? And it was that was a really strange interaction. But yeah, I didn't expect Foley. Maybe we should have. I mean, I honestly thought maybe they were going to go with a big surprise, like maybe a Kurt Angle or Eric Bischoff. The one name that I think some people had wondered about that would not have been that exciting, that was Kane, just because of the dynamic between Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But they went Foley, and that makes sense because Mick is a very good talker. He's had the role before, and he wants to be on the road every week for something like this, which he thoroughly enjoys. And, you know, he can have a good dynamic whenever him and Daniel Bryan are together. And plus, he's got a new show that's going to be debuting soon on the WWE Network that he can now plug.
Right, right. Yeah, it's I think it's peculiar they paired up Foley with Stephanie, only because it seems like, again, they're trying to make her the heel, what are they called, COOs now?
She's a commissioner, and he's a GM.
Whatever. They're the heels, right? And so putting Foley over there, who's a classic fan favorite, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I am excited to see the dynamic between Daniel Bryan and Foley. I think that could be fun. But I think in order for that to be fun, Steph and Shane have to take a step back. Because with them literally breathing down the necks of their GMs, or their commissioners, I guess, excuse me, that's going to create issues for viewers because it just doesn't feel natural, you know?
Yeah, what's funny to say that you are interested in finding out how that dynamic's going to work, considering that Cesaro is among the people that is could not care less about that dynamic, which we'll get to later on Cesaro's post-game show interview that he did. That was very, very interesting. So So we go to the draft on Tuesday night. We knew the rules.
And it was a decent episode of Raw Monday night. I did not think it was terrible. I watched it mostly live.
Well, let's talk about that first then, okay? So let's talk about the end of the show. So, and then we'll get into SmackDown and the draft. So the show ended with this match between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship. And late in the match, they did a ref bump. And I don't know why they... I kind of understand why they did the ref bump, but they could have done without it. But anyway, Seth Rollins hit a superplex, was pinning Dean Ambrose, and Ambrose at the same time rolled him up. And the referee counted three, and everybody was kind of like, what's going on? No music was played. The referee was still kind of groggy. Stephanie got on the microphone. She declared Seth Rollins the winner. The referee still kind of looked at everybody and did not declare a winner. And the announcers are like, well, what's going on? And who's the champion? They never told everybody or anybody to go over to the WWE Network. Now, I guess on Twitter, WWE said this. And if you have the WWE app, you would have gotten an alert. But after it started. But anyway, the show actually continued on the network. So it's already weird that they, on the broadcast, have not told anybody like, hey, go over to the network and we'll get this all figured out. Or even just do a cliffhanger going into SmackDown. But it continued on the network, and when it was all said and done and the referee saw some replays, he said, double pin, draw, Dean Ambrose is still the champion.
Yeah, and it was weird for them to kind of carry that over like they did, because basically I was like, I'm going to bed now. You know,
I had no idea. It was funny because I stayed awake, and like a half hour later, I was like on Twitter or on a site or something, and they said, Dean Ambrose is the champion. You know, it all got resolved, and I was like, where did it get resolved?
Yeah.
When exactly did this happen? What did I miss?
Because they didn't mention it. I mean, they just cut to the end of the show.
Now, if they had done the classic, who knows who's champion? We'll find out on SmackDown. I would have been like, okay, I get it. That's fine. Uh-huh. You know? And then the weird thing is, too, so they do the match again on SmackDown. Totally different kind of match, which I don't think everybody was into. Or there were some people that were not into. And Dean Ambrose won clean against Seth Rollins to remain champion going into Battleground, where he'll defend it again against Rollins, as well as Roman Reigns, who, by the way, His suspension ends on Thursday.
I'm not going to complain about a clean victory because there are so many dusty finishes, as they say. But it did feel weird to put Seth Rollins in that position. And I question the logic behind it. I think they're trying to make SmackDown look strong and make Dean Ambrose look strong because he is going to be definitely one of the headliner acts on a very thin roster on SmackDown. But to have it come at the sacrifice of Seth Rollins, I just thought that was weird to have a clean finish there. And especially whenever the belt going into Sunday could have been held up, you know, you could have said, oh, it's who knows what's going to happen, and we're going to settle this on Sunday, and you have Roman Reigns there as a wild card. Anything could have happened, but to have a clean finish, it just was odd.
It was odd. You know what the funny thing was, is that they probably should have only had one match, and it should have been the match they did on Raw, and maybe that's what they should have done on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then have that disputed finish going into, you know, Battleground come Sunday.
Yep.
It was very, very strange. But moving on to the draft, though. So we had the draft. We knew the rules going into this. We knew that it was going to be 3-2, Raw versus SmackDown. We didn't know exactly how they were going to do that. And basically, they just did it in 5-pick blocks. So each 5 picks was considered a round. And then they said 6 talents from NXT would get drafted. And then basically, I had to figure this out on my own. So they did 30 picks on SmackDown. And then when they did the post-game show and they were continuing the draft, there was no longer the 3-2. It was just a back and forth between Raw and SmackDown. So let's start off like this when we talk about the draft. What were your initial thoughts to the draft as it was going on and then immediately afterwards once you saw the roster?
Well, I was excited. At first, you're hearing these big names thrown about, and you're like, okay, great. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose right out the gate. That's exciting. But it started getting deeper into the draft, and I started becoming more and more concerned about, A, the quality of the show, which was just kind of a standard show with the draft in the background, and then, B, they were making Shane and Daniel Bryan look just incompetent at their job. And it was very obvious to me after about round two that they were definitely setting up Raw. I mean, probably even before round two, they were setting up Raw as the show, and SmackDown was going to get the sloppy seconds.
Yeah, unfortunately, the way that I looked at it was I was very disappointed by the draft and the way that they divvied up everything. And there was a lot of different takeaways that I came away with in watching it. And one of the biggest ones was, like you said, you know, when it comes to sloppy seconds, SmackDown once again got treated like a secondary brand.
Yep.
Not only with the roster that they ended up with, and they have a lot of talent on there, but remember, they do have a smaller roster. And we'll run it down and talk about some stuff. But the other thing was just the blatant putting down of the brand again. Yeah. Okay, because, so I mean, this is all being done because they want to raise the ratings, okay? And by the way, they did do a good rating the first night. They did over 3 million viewers. They actually got more viewers for SmackDown on Tuesday night than they did for Raw on Monday.
Wow.
I mean, just slightly.
For the draft.
But it was for the draft, and that's why. So I don't know. We'll see if that can be retained or not. But
So I guess one thing we didn't talk about was the fact that right out the gate, they said cruiserweights going to Raw.
Yeah,
right?
So we forgot about that. So on Monday,
Stephanie McMahon.
Well, there was a couple things. So Stephanie said before she picked her GM, I believe that's when it was. Anyway, she said cruiserweights are going to be exclusive to Raw. And then after Daniel Bryan got drafted, he was talking about, we're not going to have an emphasis on the management and, you know, how exactly it's going to be run. There's not going to be a problems. Me and Shane are going to be on the same page. And we care about the superstars. We care about the talent. We care about the in-ring product, which made you believe that they were going to go back to the formula that they've done time and time again, and especially during the first brand split, that Raw was going to be more of a sports entertainment show. SmackDown was going to be more of a wrestling show.
Which worked. I mean, that was a great formula for whenever they first did this split and this draft extension.
Right. And then, so They want to put SmackDown, the thinking is SmackDown needs to be like at an even level. It needs to be treated the same. The brands need to be treated the same. Let the best man win. Let's see what goes on, right? But instead, and I know she's in character, but you have Stephanie McMahon out there belittling SmackDown and their little two-hour show and making different comments and whatnot, which, you know, give or take. But then you've got, like, when you watch, like, the second screen experience, and you've got Booker T interviewing John Cena, who's just been drafted to SmackDown, and goes, so, John, let me ask you this. Do you think it's a demotion that you're going to SmackDown? It's like, a demotion?
Yeah.
Aren't we supposed to be getting past this whole thing?
Right.
And my other big thing that I took away from the whole experience of the draft was there is no rhyme or reason to either roster. I mean,
yeah.
And you would think like, okay, we're going to, so to make them distinctly different, because remember, that's what they said. We want these brands to be different because there's going to be this quote unquote competition. Shows are going to be different. I expect new sets for, either Raw and or SmackDown is going to get a new set, you know, come next week, and maybe even some new music and new graphics and whatnot. Okay. That's fine. But you want there to be a different feel when it comes to the roster and how everything's kind of be set up. And instead, it's kind of like this hodgepodge all over the place when it comes to the draft. And I don't know what the heck they're going to be doing.
There were so many little things that they did that were just illogical. So, again, I think setting it up with the, you know, they said, oh, well, it's 3 hours on Raw, 2 hours on SmackDown, 3 draft picks to 2. That makes sense until you say, well, we're also bringing in the cruiserweights, which in my mind, that fills up the extra hour, right? So, okay. So we get over that little bit of illogical nonsense. And then once Charlotte was drafted and once the tag team champions were drafted, thus stacking Raw against SmackDown when it comes to mid-card talent, why would Shane and Daniel Bryan, why would they recruit any tag teams or any women? Because they're not going to have a division, right? You're just going to literally have a few people on your roster and not enough to pad out your entire division. So that was perplexing. And then there were just so many random things that happened. Like, it seems to me that you could have made these distinct shows. And with the cruiserweights and with the women on Raw, you put the tag teams on SmackDown, you kind of had this really great dynamic. But then there was just Kalisto, right? I would assume he's a cruiserweight, but he got drafted to SmackDown in the After Hours show.
Right.
So, again, and why was there a rule? Let me just ask you, why is there a rule that a GM and that the commissioner, they did not have to take both members of a tag team? Why would you not? Why would you say, no, I only want one of these guys, not both of them? Why would that ever make sense?
I have no idea. And, you know, when you talk about, like, the depth of, like, the women's division and the tag team division, which is something that we had talked about before, mm-hmm. How many tag teams got drafted?
11. Okay.
But the way that it splits up, 6 on Raw, 5 on SmackDown.
Yep.
How many women got drafted?
10?
13.
13, okay.
7 on Raw, where the champion is, 6 on SmackDown.
It just doesn't make any sense why you would split it evenly whenever you could develop unique properties to each brand.
Exactly. And
it doesn't make any sense.
This is something that I had pitched before, and I'm going to bring this back, okay? Because this is what I really thought they should have done, okay? I would have said, and the way that you could have explained this to me was you would have been, okay, I would have never given away the rules on the Sunday before Raw. Okay. So what you do is, to me, is you announce the GMs. And by the way, if you think this is a horrible idea, just shoot me down at any point. But okay. I would have waited on the rules. I would have said, okay, we're going to announce the general managers. They can do their spiel. And during the afternoon on Tuesday, I would have been teasing on social media. There are tense negotiations going into the draft tonight. Over, you know, how the draft is going to be conducted. Yep. And draft picks and different things like that and NXT talent. And then when you start the show, I would have done something like, hey, after these long drawn out negotiations, we have all worked out a scenario that we feel is, you know, we can all agree upon. Stephanie really wants the number one overall pick in each round, and she really wants, her and Mick Foley, by the way, they really want three picks to two. So what I would have done, and she could have even explained about, hey, we've had a formula here on Raw that's worked, and we are not going away from that. We want to just bring in talent, blah, blah, blah. So she could have said, we've got first pick in each round. We get three picks to two, and we will be the exclusive home of the women's division because we're all about the Divas Revolution or, you know, women's movement, women power, whatever she wants to say as a strong female in my upcoming book, Lady Balls, which is just the most ungodly name for a book I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Quite honestly, it's totally beneath her. I mean, she's smarter. I understand they're trying to get her attention, but it's just a dumb name for a book. And then SmackDown, Shane and Daniel Bryan could have said, hey, you know what? We care about what our fans want. We care about the in-ring product. We care about our superstars and our talent. We do not want drama behind the scenes. And on top of that, we want to be innovators. Yeah. So in exchange for you guys getting all that, SmackDown will be the exclusive home for the Cruiserweight division. It will be the exclusive home for the tag team champions. Yep. So you can have tag teams on the other brand, but the tag team championships stay there. Just like with the women, okay? You could say, and what I would have done in this process too, is I would have said, because Raw gets the women, they automatically get to pick 12 women. Like at the beginning of the draft, just say the women are out of it. These 12 women are going there. These 12 tag teams or whatever, they're going over here. So all your drafting on the show is going to be the other guys.
Singles. Yeah, singles guys. The main roster singles talent.
But I would have made one other little caveat too, because SmackDown is into innovation and for the fans and everything. SmackDown has first right of refusal for any NXT talent. So that way you'd say if an NXT talent comes up to the main roster, SmackDown gets them. But if at any point they want, they can, of course, they could trade them over to Raw. Or if Raw really wants somebody, they could work out a deal saying, hey, we really want this guy. And you work out a trade, you know, so you do something like that. So now I've cut down on the draft on the TV show. I can fit it all on the TV show. And I've created two distinctly different brands.
Yeah. I think that could work. I think it would be confusing to some fans. In WWE's eyes, they're probably worried that fans would be too dumb to understand it because they think we all have a 5-second memory.
Right. And I think what you'd also have to do, obviously, is, and they're probably still going to do this, is create a second world championship. But in this scenario, you don't have to worry about creating a second women's championship or saying, oh, these women just don't get to compete for the women's championship. And same when it comes to tag teams. And then what you could say is, hey, Raw's going to have their same kind of formula. If you like that show, look at the stars. They might have, you know, who knows? I mean, they could have the world champion right now or after Battleground. They've got women, and they're going to have a bigger roster. But over, well, technically, they're going to have a bigger roster of names you already know. SmackDown could have the same size roster, but they're going to be cruiserweights, and there's going to be some NXT talent. But also, you're going to get tag team wrestling. For people that like tag team wrestling, that's where that spot is going to be. And you know what? USA Network has told WWE, you got to get bigger ratings. So do something, you know, so why not try to do something different and unique and make SmackDown different from Raw by doing something like I just, you know, formulated out and thinking like, hey, you know what? There's going to be a lot of fans that are going to watch it. Because with Monday night, that's just something that's ingrained in the wrestling fans. Monday night is wrestling night. Tuesday night is not. So you've got to do something above and beyond, I think, to get people into that pattern to say, I'm not only going to watch Raw on Monday night, I'm going to watch SmackDown on Tuesdays.
I guess I think you hit on a couple of good points here. Number one, WWE did not do a very good job of conveying the rules in a way that made sense. So, for example, the titles. They never said the titles will stay with so-and-so if they go here. They didn't really address it, and they just kind of skimmed. Like, for example, the WWE Championship, right? They never said for sure whoever drafts the champion gets to keep that belt. I think they did say that the titles would stay with them, but they didn't reinforce that enough. And so that's an issue that I had. But again, the second issue, and I think to really what you're getting at here, they just did more of the same. Instead of treating it like what they've done with NXT, where they developed this really unique property with some really cool talent and did this different different thing down in Florida. They just said, you know what we need to do? We need to make both shows WWE. And it doesn't, neither show has an identity. It doesn't help the entire product, and it's not going to help the ratings in the long run. It feels like more generic WWE stuff. We're going to have more 3-on-3 tag matches, and that's not what fans are asking for. Fans want great storylines, and they want to see something unique on every show they're watching. That's why they love the Cruiserweight Classic. That's why they love NXT. So I think with all of that said, WWE missed the mark here by about a mile.
Yeah, and see, the other thing, especially when it comes to, like, you know, putting different divisions exclusive on a brand, but especially when it comes to the women, now I'm saying, hey, well, guess what? It is important for the women to all be together. We're going to do something with them. They're all going to be gunning for the championship, or they're all going to be around that picture. They can all feud with one another. So it's not like there's a couple that are over on the side, you know, someplace else. You know, it makes them have to put an emphasis on the women. Now, on the flip side, I will say this. There are some positives the way they did this in that, one, Becky Lynch is the top female star on SmackDown. And I think that's great for her. And the way that they've done this, it's going to force their hands on pushing some people that maybe, you know, use, like a Dolph Ziggler. So Dolph used to be, you know, he used to be a world champion. He hasn't been close to that for a while. But with the way that the rosters are shaped out, and especially if there was an injury or two, guess what? He might be forced into the world title picture if they have two different world titles. Bray Wyatt over on SmackDown. That dude has to be in the world title picture now. He has to be. So it's going to force them to do that with some different guys. But like you said, just the way that the rosters are split and everything is... It just looks like a discombobulated mess right now. And, you know, it's funny because we knew six talents from NXT were getting called up. And I wanted to bring up this point. So, privately, you and I had talked about this beginning on Monday, that I had heard what the six NXT talents were going to be. Mm-hmm. And I was dead on right. Or the person that told me was dead on right. Okay? My source, okay, which typically I do not have one, but I spoke with somebody, and guess what? You know what? They were right. And I wasn't even sure they're going to be right, because you never know what information they're being fed, and it's nothing against them, but who knows what's going on, and I'm not going to leak any information because it could be a trap, you know? So, and I want to see it to believe it. But guess what? It was dead on right, and I felt super bad for Bailey that she did not get called up yet. I felt, you know, like obviously Samoa Joe and Nakamura, those guys belong there. And here's the point about NXT though. Okay. They got to make up their mind about NXT. Okay. Yeah. Because you've got talent that is main roster ready. Okay. So finally they're bringing up Finn Balor. He's been in NXT for 2 years. Okay. He's already in his mid-30s. You've got somebody like Samoa Joe's in his mid-30s. Nakamura's in his mid-30s. Bailey, whose gimmick I like, but, you know, there's a shelf life on that gimmick. They're in the prime of their career, and they're in NXT. And it's nothing against NXT. But guess what? That is a touring brand that is working smaller buildings. They have several big shows a year, and they go on, you know, that one UK rock festival every year or whatever. But outside of that, it's just like, you know, make up your mind, because you've got guys that are WWE talent. The focus has always been on the main roster, because if you want to keep them in NXT because you're worried about that brand, then you've got to put NXT on television. You got to find a slot for them on some network, and you've got to pump them up like they're on the even level of Raw and SmackDown. You got to make up your mind one way or the other. And to me, NXT could still have plenty of talent, you know, being the way the brand is right now, and it's still going to be a big deal. But those talents in particular that I mentioned should not be there anymore. And who knows, maybe they will be brought up, you know, in the next couple of months. And if they are, I hope that they're made a big deal out of. But to have them sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, even though Nakamura's only been there since the beginning of the year, that dude should have probably gone straight to the main roster.
Right.
I mean, Balor to sit down in NXT for over 2 years is ridiculous.
Well, and it's like they want to ride the fence. They want to hedge their bets. They don't want to make a decision on any of this stuff, and it's hurting the brand. It's like, why is Cesaro on Raw? You go down that roster, Cesaro is way out of place. He should be on SmackDown, where he would get that chance to shine a little bit more instead of getting lost in a shuffle. But they're unwilling to double down and say, you know what, we want to make him a main eventer for whatever reason.
Well, I'll make this point, too, when we talk about those brands, and because the thinking was SmackDown was going to be the wrestling show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Look at the really, really good wrestlers that are over on Raw. So now Finn Balor's there, Sami Zayn's there, Neville's there, Cesaro is there, Sasha Banks is there.
Yeah.
Which I only bring her name up because they split the women the way that they did. And when you talk about the really good workers that are over on SmackDown, you've got Ambrose, Styles, you've got John Cena, who might not be there every week. You have got Randy Orton, who Randy is injury prone, unfortunately, but you know, when he's healthy, he can still go. And then you've got Bray Wyatt. Now, people argue, is he like a top-notch worker? I don't think we've still seen enough from him.
Yeah.
You've got Ziggler, but a guy that hasn't been anywhere close to a main spot or a higher up spot than we've seen in the past. So when you talk about the workhorses, you can make the argument that not only does Raw have a deeper draft, a deeper roster, and guys that have more star power, but they've got the better workhorses too.
Yep. It's
because
bizarre.
They've also got, because I didn't even mention they've got Rollins, they've got Lesnar, and they've got Kevin Owens.
Well, but take a step back. Again, it's illogical. It doesn't make much sense. But in the eyes of WWE, John Cena is still one of their main guys.
Sure.
They split John Cena and Roman Reigns, right? You put Randy Orton over there, who they still consider to be, and I'm not saying he's not, but they still consider him basically to be one of the top five guys in the company, which is why they paired him up with Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, right? So, again, in their eyes, they're loading up SmackDown with the talent, but I think it reinforces this idea that they're a little bit out of touch with what the actual fans and the mass fans want out there, which is we don't want to see John Cena versus Randy Orton again, even if they have been around for 20 years, right? We want to see these young, fresh guys. But I think that's the mentality they took was, look, we put the big names on SmackDown.
Well, hell, maybe they should have put Sheamus on SmackDown so that way they could revisit the Randy Orton-Sheamus feud.
There you go. The John Cena Sheamus feud, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So real quickly, here's the rundown kind of everything. So Raw, when you talk about their heels, basically it's Seth Rollins, Lesnar, Jericho, Rusev, Kevin Owens, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, which he got separated from the Wyatt family. And you can make the argument that Braun should definitely be in NXT and instead he's on the main roster, but at least he was part of a group and now he's on his own. So I hope he does okay. I've got a feeling that he's going to, get buried in quicksand. Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel over on Raw. They've got Balor, Reigns, Sami Zayn. Actually, this is Raw babyfaces. So Balor, Reigns, Sami Zayn, Big Show, which I don't know what the hell he is. Neville, Cesaro, Titus, Darren Young, Sin Cara, the Fighting Sin Cara, who apparently, before the show, got into a fight backstage with Simon Gotch. We don't know who the winner was. Jack Swagger, Mark Henry, and then tag teams. They've got New Day, Enzo and Cass, Golden Truth, The Club, Dudleys, Shining Stars, and then they've got seven women. That includes Sasha Page, Alicia Fox, Charlotte, Nia Jax, Summer Rae, Dana Brooke. SmackDown, let's see, babyfaces. They've got Ambrose, Cena, Ziggler, Kane, whatever he is, Kalisto. By the way, I feel sorry for Kalisto. That dude cut the single worst promo I've heard in I don't know how many years, and he is done for.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah, it was super, super rough. They have Zack Ryder, Apollo Crews, Mojo Rawley, who I assume could be teamed back up with Zack Ryder, so we're gonna get the hype bros.
It makes sense if you're up there recruiting. If you're Daniel Bryan, you're Shane McMahon, and you're recruiting NXT talent, and you want the best of the best, you're like, you know what?
Yep.
Samoa Joe, you stay there. Austin Aries, no way. No way, Jose. We don't need you right now.
But
instead, we're going to individually draft the hype bros.
Well, here's what I don't understand too, okay? If they're not going to take Joe and they're not going to take Nakamura, okay? If they're not going to take Bayley, can you please explain this on the broadcast why they're not eligible? Can you please explain it? Because otherwise everybody's sitting going, what the hell? Even somebody that doesn't follow NXT on a regular basis goes, wait a second. So you're saying these people are better than the NXT champion?
Right.
What? I'm like, the rest of SmackDown, they've got AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, your boy The Miz, with Maurice, Baron Corbin, Del Rio, Eric Rowan, tag team division. Oh, my God. Here's the five tag teams I have. American Alpha, The Usos, The Ascension, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and they have the Vaudevillains. And then the women, they have Becky Lynch, Naomi, Carmella, Natalia, Alexa Bliss, and Eva Marie, who, by the way, was not considered an NXT talent.
That's weird.
The whole thing is weird, man.
Weird.
It's freaking weird. And like I said, I don't know if they're going to make more titles or what, but I mean, I'm just looking at this from a SmackDown standpoint, and I'm like, they're going to have to give bigger pushes, obviously, to like Ziggler,
yep.
Wyatt, definitely. Baron Corbin, who knows? They might, because Baron Corbin was taken somewhat high at number 19. I don't know. I mean, they still have to fill in some gaps from a standpoint that the word has always been that they're going to bring in some other people that were veterans, bring them
Why
back.
Why weren't
into
there
the
any surprises last night?
There
That's
was none.
Too.
Well, the only surprise they were trying to talk about was which one's from NXT. So Balor got, you know, taken, but there was no other surprises whatsoever. And by the way, you're welcome, WWE. I gave you this fantastic idea a few weeks ago for the draft that you should have all of the NXT talent together at the Performance Center, have a camera there and have a video there so you could actually see them and then interview the people if they got drafted. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, but they didn't cut it in. That was after the words. Am I remembering that correctly? It did not
happen. They did it on the second screen experience.
Yes, which, again, okay, yeah. Yeah.
I gave them another wonderful idea. You're welcome.
They're listening to the podcast.
They are.
Oh.
I know for a fact that they used to have somebody listen to it and take notes and report. That is a true story. And then the announcers, we find out after the show too, like late on Tuesday night, the announcing teams have been shaken up. So your Raw announcing crew is now Michael Cole, Corey Graves, Byron Saxton. By the way, this is exactly what Justin Barrasso had said a few weeks ago for SI.com. was going to happen. And then he also said JBL was going to go to SmackDown. Well, guess what? He is with Mauro Ranallo, but they'll also have David Otunga on the broadcast. Jerry Lawler is out from being on the color commentator, and instead he has been moved to the pre-show alongside Booker T as analyst.
Yeah.
Which he'll be fine in that role, but man, yeah. Jerry was like revitalized calling the action with Mauro.
Yeah. It was. It's sad that he was kind of back into a vibe that I didn't despise what he was doing, and they shipped him away. But I'm kind of interested to see what David Otunga has to offer, because that's kind of an out of left field recruit, you know.
Well, he's been doing superstars.
Well, that's true. That's true.
He's been doing superstars a little bit, but yeah, we'll see.
He just hasn't been featured on the big three pay per views, Raw or SmackDown at all.
Yeah, totally. So, by the way, did you not find it amusing when we talk about some of these NXT talents? Like, when we're sitting there and you're now at, like, say, number 52 and the Shining Stars get taken and you're like, wait a second, Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura are still on the board. What?
Right.
What?
Right.
Like, the Ascension. The freaking Ascension, man. Which, they got taken at number 41.
Yep.
By the way, for a second there, when they at 49, so Tyler Breeze and Fandango went, for a second there, I thought they were only taking Tyler. Like, they split up the tag team. I go, here we go. And now they kept them together. But
it's crazy. It just, again, I don't have any ways to say this, but it just doesn't make any sense.
I know. I guess the positive spin is you can say, hey, you know what? There's going to be more TV time for some people that we're on TV, but maybe weren't getting as much, or they could definitely be bumped up a level. So it could be positive from that aspect. But I just think there's no rhyme and reason to this. I look at a depth of SmackDown, and it's just not there from star power. I look at depth when it comes to how they put together the women and the tag team divisions. It's crazy. And they still haven't explained that maybe the women's champion and the tag team champion could be crossovers or not. I doubt that would happen. And like I said before, there's just no identity to either one. It's the same old, just like you said. Hell, you know what? You can even make the argument that was great seeing Finn Balor get drafted at number 5, but how much fanfare was there for it?
Right.
How big of a deal really was it? I mean, why wasn't he there?
Yep. It just, they were just going through it. They were just churning out names. All right, here's a video. And they should have had better vignettes for some of these guys that are coming up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Like, show some video featuring Finn and all of the things he's done while he's been at NXT and the multi-time champion, and just make that seem like it is the biggest thing since sliced bread, you know?
Let's talk about a couple things. Okay, so the show ended with Heath Slater not getting drafted. Did you see what WWE did today?
No.
So they were talking about Heath Slater. So WWE.com has some thoughts on where he might end up next. And they said that, well, basically Heath Slater, they're positioning him as now a free agent because he did not get drafted. And they're saying that what will happen to him next? Could he ply his trade elsewhere? WWE.com says that he's been speaking with William Regal about working with promotions in the UK, and he's also been in touch with Evolve.
What?
I'm not making this up, because they even said, they go, he's been in talks with Evolve, with Evolve Wrestling chief Gabe Sapolsky, who publicly refused to confirm nor deny negotiations are underway. Which is brilliant that they did that. Okay, I get a lot of credit for that.
I guess he could go over there and he can bring back Union Jacks and they can have lots of fun.
Sure. Oof. So let's get to Cesaro. So I guess during the pre-show, Cesaro did an interview where he said he wanted to go to SmackDown, where Daniel Bryan is the GM, and he, because he thought it was going to be the wrestling show, and he referred to Raw as the bad guy show. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He goes to Raw, and he was none too thrilled about it. So, like, during the post-game show, he did an interview with JoJo. And by the way, none of these guys knew where they were going, or almost none of them knew. And they were doing these interviews backstage, and these guys were, like, caught off guard. And they didn't even know they're going to be doing promos. They didn't know where they're going to be going. So this happens like right after they get drafted, or, you know, within like 10 or 15 minutes, they're being interviewed and there's no script. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just like, okay, you're going to you're going to do this interview, right? So JoJo asked Cesaro, you were drafted in the 6th round of Raw. How are you feeling about all this? Okay. And I'm not blaming JoJo. She's got to do her thing, right? So Cesaro says, I'm not happy. I got drafted in the 6th round, man. He goes, I should have been drafted higher. I wanted to be in the top 10. He goes, just looking at the rosters and what the GMs talked about yesterday, meaning Raw, that he thought SmackDown was going to be the wrestling show, all about the in-ring product. So he was disappointed that he was going to Raw. And he goes, it's going to be all about, SmackDown was supposed to be all about the in-ring product and all about the superstars and not necessarily about the GMs and that whole drama. So I feel like I would be a better fit for SmackDown, but like I've always done, I'll try to overcome, blah, blah, blah. JoJo's follow-up question and her last question was, speaking of GMs, how do you think that Mick Foley being the general manager and Stephanie McMahon being the commissioner, how do you think they'll coexist? And Cesaro had this look on his face like, I don't give a bleep, okay? And he said, honestly, that's part of the problem. You just asked me that question because I don't really care. And then he went on to talk about how he does not care about the management. He says there needs to be more of a focus on the talent. And there does not need to be a focus on management. And that is what is one of the problems. He goes, we've got great talent on Raw. We've got Seth Rollins. We've got New Day. We've got Finn Balor. And what are we talking about right now? We're talking about practice. Oh, no. He said, we're talking about Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley, which he flat out said is annoying to me.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about people don't think I can cut a promo. He goes, guess what? I actually have a brain that forms thoughts that come out of my mouth. And sometimes I stumble with the words, but that's because I speak five different languages. But I speak the universal language that wrestling fans know, because that is the language of wrestling, what I do in the ring, and that's what I do best. But he ended it by literally almost doing a mic drop and going, Cesaro on Raw.
Yeah. It was perfect. It was his own version of his pipe bomb, right? And I really hope it leads to something, but Dolph Ziggler had a moment a year or so ago where he delivered an impassioned message, and it led to about a 1 week rise in Dolph Ziggler's stock and back to nothing afterwards. So we'll see. They need to get rid of that stupid tearaway tux gimmick. It is awful. It doesn't do anything, and it doesn't fit who he is. It's terrible.
Yeah, I know, man. And I don't know what's going to happen with Cesaro here, because, you know, when it comes to, you know, repercussions, we'll find out on Monday. I got a feeling. I hope nothing happens. I don't think necessarily anything will, but hey, you give the guy a live mic and something like that happens. I mean, Alberto Del Rio looked absolutely distraught that he got put on SmackDown, and he had to do one of those promos, and he didn't look like he wanted to talk, and he looked beyond upset knowing that he was going to SmackDown and his girlfriend Paige went to Raw.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do? Drop Cesaro further down the card? Not let him get the shots he's already not getting? You know, like, I'm not that worried about it, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure there's a reason for it, and this happens all the time, but Del Rio, you could tell he was upset. And I don't know if they did that on purpose. Is it a little gotcha? Was it thought about? I'm sure it had to have been thought about. Is there a rhyme or reason for it, or is it just like, we want to keep you split? Just like Carmella's coming up. And my thinking was, okay, her focus could still be on the women's division, but she could also be back with Enzo and Cass. Well, that's not even in the conversation right now, because they're on different brands. She's on SmackDown. They're on Raw.
Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't.
I mean, we got to see it. We got to see how it plays out. Yes, but yes. I totally agree with you. There is no sensical logic to how this was done.
I think this was a miss. I think overall the draft was a miss. I think they had some opportunity to do something new and really capitalize in this new era. And I think it was a miss. That being said, Monday Night Raw will be interesting after Battleground, because we're going to be coming back with new, fresh faces on Raw. SmackDown is going to be this new unique thing. So I'm excited to see what the creative team has in store for all of this after Monday night.
And let's see if SmackDown does in fact go that route where they say the focus is on in-ring and not as much sports entertainment. And what can they do differently? And who knows? Maybe following SummerSlam, we do see a Samoa Joe and a Shinsuke Nakamura and a Bayley coming up. And maybe they all go to, you know, maybe they'll go to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Or maybe Bayley goes to Raw, you know, and the guys go to SmackDown. I don't know.
I want to see more of that, though. I want to see more of these trades. I would love to see them do some trades here and there to kind of keep things fresh and exciting.
Well, that's what I wonder about, too. What if they go, man, 2 months from now, they go, this kind of isn't working, and we got this mismatch thing. And they go, so let's open up Raw. We're going to announce this big 14-person trade.
Yep. That'd be awesome. That would be, it'll keep fans on the edge of their seats. And I don't think it's professional wrestling. Nothing has any real permanence, right? They unified the WWE and World Heavyweight titles 2 years ago. And now they're getting ready to bring back the world title because they just call it now the WWE Championship. So
yeah,
everything is temporary.
Well, I don't think we're going to know if this is successful until
WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'd say WrestleMania. I think that's fair. You know, and, you know, when it comes to WrestleMania now, I wonder how many potential crossover matches they have.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, the things to watch and the things that they did in the past, and I'm not going to say it was a panic move, but it was something that definitely did not help when they did the brand extension, was it didn't take too long, if I remember, before they started doing some crossover.
Yeah.
And then that just got more and more and more and more to the point where they said, heck with it. We're going to get rid of it. Right.
Well, it took them a number of years. I mean, originally the only person that crossed over was the champion, who I remember being Triple H, I think it was, who was the original undisputed champion back whenever they originally unified the WCW title and the WWF championship. But it seems like once he lost the belt, they stopped doing crossovers. They did do trades. Like, I remember very early on, Stephanie worked at a deal, kayfabe, right, for the tag team champions. And so that's what I want to see. But I don't necessarily want to see them just, oh, look, so-and-so from SmackDown's here tonight, you know?
Yeah. I was advocating that the Varsity Club should have been taken last night, but it didn't happen, unfortunately.
That's funny.
I mean, I just look at this thing. I mean, like I said, we'll see what happens. It was just disappointing. I just felt like there's a lot more opportunities, like you said, and a lot more potential to this. And it just feels like a big jumbled up mess now. I mean, so now the club's not together, which they're not crying about it, you know, but it's just like, okay, so now these guys are doing their thing like they did over in New Japan. People are seeing it. They're kind of smart Alex or whatever. They've even found something over the last couple of weeks where they really started to click with the whole beat up John Cena. And then what do? Splitsville.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, why? And who knows? Now everybody kind of thinks, and rightfully so, I wonder this too, could Finn Balor once again be associated with Gallows and Anderson?
That would be a fun little twist, a little fun little wrinkle in the WWE landscape.
So, and I think I said this before last week, that one of the things I was kind of wondering about was, so I felt good that Balor was getting called up. We both felt good about it for weeks now. But they're putting him on the show where they're going to have cruiserweights. And I hope that they don't go after a couple of weeks where somebody says, I'm not sure about this Finn Balor guy, so let's put him in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be a miss.
Well, same with Neville, because while Neville would shine in that division, I don't know if I want to put him in there. And this goes to the whole, you know, should you not have a cruiserweight division? There's pros and cons to that, which we've definitely seen in the past.
I want to see them treat the cruiserweight division like what WCW used to treat it, as a special thing in the first hour of Raw, where these young, high-flying talents get spotlighted, and eventually they might move their way up and become main event fixtures like Rey Mysterio did, and Eddie Guerrero, of course, and a few others. Right. That's what I want
to
see.
But if you move them up, it has to be, hey, I am just a cruiserweight wrestler. I do not face anybody else outside of this division until there is a time where they say, we're going to move him up. Because yes. Otherwise, it's going to diminish that, you know, the cruiserweight division.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you got to keep them separate. So that way those guys look special. They feel special. Mm-hmm. The division's special, you know, and all that jazz that goes into it. I mean, there's a way to do it. I mean, because how many times have we seen it? We're like, I don't care about this cruiserweight title or the cruiserweight division. I got to go where the big boys are, which I.
WCW. You know. Where the big boys play.
Exactly. You know, and it's just like, okay, what have you just done to that division? Oh, you crushed it.
Yeah.
You crushed it. So, you know, like I said, I'm not sure about the cruiserweight division. I'm hoping good things. And I think a lot of the guys that are in the cruiserweight classic are getting signed. Like, there's already been some reports that Kota Ibushi and Grand Metalik have been signed.
Okay.
I would think that Cedric Alexander is, if he hasn't been signed, he is going to be signed. A little bit of a spoiler word. I'm not going to say who wins, but at the Cruiserweight Classic, if you haven't heard, Cedric Alexander and Kota Ibushi had an unbelievable freaking match. Like, yeah. To the point where Cedric Alexander got a standing ovation, was really in tears, and then as he tried to go through the curtain, Triple H grabbed him and pulled him back out and said, take in this applause.
Interesting. Wow.
And everybody was chanting, something like, give him a contract or sign him now or whatever it was.
That's awesome.
So I think he's coming in. I would not be surprised if TJ Perkins got a contract. Johnny Gargano, I bet, because he's already there under NXT, but he has that deal where he can also work indies. I wouldn't be surprised if he got signed, and same with Ciampa. Zack Sabre Jr., I know they want. I don't know if Zack is ready to sign a deal with them yet, though. I think he still wants to be able to work indies.
Interesting.
And by the way, you can see all my interviews with some of those guys.
Cheap plug.
Which, if you go to our YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/between the ropes, you will see me in bad lighting sitting down with four different interviews with Johnny Gargano, TJ Perkins, Noam Dar, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Good interviews, by the way.
Thank you. I apologize for the lighting and for the sterile environment where I got stuck into a tile room with like nothing to absorb sound, but it is what it is. And I'm the one man camera guy in there too. I'm the talent and the cameraman. So, yeah. All right. Well, we do have Battleground coming up on.
Okay.
So let's talk about Battleground real quick. Let's give some predictions. So Roman Reigns is back and he's going to be facing Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, triple threat. So first off, do you think we will get a clean winner?
No.
Do you think they will do a finish to where the championship is disputed and it sets up the possibility for a second world championship?
I think they're setting up a Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins feud coming out of this pay-per-view. I think what you have happen is somehow or another Dean Ambrose is able to escape cleanly and you set up the other two. I don't know how this works, but I imagine there will be a disputed finish, but also leave open the option for Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns to fight over the title that's going to be on Raw eventually.
I think they've got to find a way to dispute it to where maybe, because if they're going to have two world champions, I think that Dean might need to come away with it, where the other two guys can each make a claim that I'm the rightful world champion or whatever. So they get put into a match where they'll be crowned the world heavyweight champion, while Dean Ambrose is the WWE champion over on SmackDown.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm predicting.
Yeah.
But I think somehow or another Dean Ambrose comes out of this still smelling pretty good.
Yep. Sami Zayn against Kevin Owens, which after them talking about this is going to be the final battle between these two guys, they both ended up on Raw.
Yep. Yep, we're going to see it at SummerSlam. We're going to see it in the Hell in a Cell or
Jeez
Last
Almighty.
Man Standing.
They're selling T-shirts talking about the final battle, and it's got like a headshot where it's half Sammy and half Kevin Owens. It's this really cool T-shirt that they're selling right now. It's just like, this isn't the final battle. They're the same damn brand. Yeah. Yeah. I think Owens is going to win this.
I think Zayn's going to win it.
Okay.
Okay.
Johnny Boots and Tights, Enzo and Big Cass against the Club. One last time for the Club.
The Club.
I hope the Club.
The Club.
And I don't want to see okay, who's more like, okay, take Enzo Amore out of the equation. Who's more likely to be pinned? John Cena or Big Cass?
Big Cass.
Wow. I don't know. I think they want to protect Big Cass.
I don't think they want to protect him that much considering John Cena is the face of SmackDown.
Is he now?
I guess. Who else would be?
Dean Ambrose?
Well,
Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Exactly. Hey, the second the ratings go down, John will be on TV every week, front and center.
There you go.
He'll be in three slots on a 2-hour show.
I've already heard they got slated to bring back the ECW TV title for John Cena to defend, and that doesn't work very well. WCW Hardcore Championship coming back. John Cena, your defending champion.
Dude, the TV title is still lost. After the original ECW had their final show and somebody snuck into the locker room and stole that title.
Really?
Yeah, man. You don't know that epic story?
No.
Yeah, somebody stole the title.
That's awesome.
Good for them. It's still on the loose. Becky Lynch is taking on Natalya. To me, it's got to be Becky.
Becky, yep.
The Miz against Darren Young.
The Miz.
I think Mizzle's got to win this.
Miz, yep.
He God, better. If Darren Young wins this, oh my God. Rusev against Zack Ryder. I want Rusev really bad.
Yes. I don't know. Zack Ryder, he's... Well, let's see here. Zack is on SmackDown, right?
Correctamundo.
Rusev's going to win it.
Yeah. New Day against the Wyatt family, which is not for the titles. It's just a 6-man tag. I think New Day's going to win
New
it.
Day,
I think they pin Eric Rowan. Who, by the way, did you see that creepy promo that he did?
No, huh?
So they've got this creepy promo where, like, he's carrying what looks to be a dead body over his shoulder. But I guess it's just, like, a mannequin, but it's covered up, like, in a sheet. But he's, like, carrying this thing around, and then they do all these, you know, like, Wyatt family weird visions and stuff. Oh, my God, it's weird.
That's interesting. Okay.
And then they're doing Charlotte and Dana Brooke against Sasha and TBD. That is
Bailey?
To be determined.
Bailey?
A lot of people think it could be Bailey. Which,
to Bailey determined?
I don't know. Maybe. That would be one way to bring her up immediately and appease everybody and tell us to shut our holes that she didn't get part, wasn't part of the draft. Even though I still will complain that they didn't explain why she wasn't drafted along with the other top talents there. I don't know who else it could be. I don't think it could be Nikki Bella. I was thinking that, but now it looks like she's having another MRI coming up in the next couple of days to see if she can be cleared. So okay. I don't think she's been cleared yet.
Okay.
The only other person that I could kind of think of would be Lita.
Hmm.
But I don't know if she wants to wrestle.
Okay.
Hmm. Do you think of anybody else?
I'm just sitting here racking my brain. I think Bailey's got a pretty good shot. I expect it to be an underwhelming pick if it's not Bailey. I expect it to be like Nia Jax.
Oh. Well, you can't put Nia and Sasha together. Nia's a heel. Well, so not on the main roster. She's
brand new.
Brand new. And good for her. You know, I mean, I don't think she's ready to be on the main roster yet. I mean, and here's my explanation, though. And it's nothing against her. And I like Nia a lot. And I think she's going to be very, very good. But I don't like it when talent gets brought up too quickly and they just don't have enough experience.
Right.
And then when they get brought up and then people are yelling and bitching and moaning and groaning about them, and it's not good for the talent. It's not good for business. You know, but good for them that they got called up. Good for her. I mean, she was emotional. If you saw this video that they have of her, she's playing around on her cell phone as they're announcing the next pick. She had no idea.
Yeah.
And they announced her. She was like, what?
You can't hold it against the talent when they get a good opportunity. You know, you just can't do it. You can't say, you don't deserve it. And then hold it against them. And what, they need to return it? No, I don't want to be on the main roster.
You know? Absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Mojo Rawley, but good for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could see it coming. I mean, he's a big dude. Of course he's good, you know. I mean.
Yeah, he's got the look.
He's got the look, man. He's excitable. And plus, maybe they can get Rob Gronkowski now to be on Raw a little
bit. That's right.
More, so.
That's right.
By the way, how excited were you to see the return of the red and blue shirts?
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I was less excited, though, because they were not the classic shirts from the original draft, where they had put a little SmackDown on it, and I do it till I'm raw. Those were the greatest shirts.
I'll do it till I'm raw.
Yes, do you remember those? Those were the best.
Let's talk about one other thing. Okay, so we mentioned Brock Lesnar earlier. So Brock, since we last did a podcast, tested positive for a substance.
Beating somebody's ass, no?
So in a USADA, it was funny because I believe he did 7 USADA tests, like out of competition, which is outside of the day of the fight that he had at UFC 200. So like the last test that he took out of competition, and he took 7 of them, he was found to have a substance that's on the banned list. And I believe that test was on June 28th. The fight was on July 9th, but the results did not get reported to the UFC until July 14th. Why it took so long? That is ridiculous.
But it's because they're random. It's because they do it in this fashion where they don't prioritize any. So the people doing that, it's anonymous, you know, so they don't prioritize certain ones. And it's
the whole
system.
There's a way to do it. But yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so he tested positive there. There were some stories going around about what it could or could not be. Lesnar gave a short statement to the Associated Press saying, we'll get to the bottom of this. And since then, he's also tested positive for the same substance in his in-competition test, which is the day or the night of the fight. And I don't know the name of the drug off the top of my head, but it is an anti-estrogen substance, which in the fighting world many times is taken once you are coming off of a cycle of steroids. It's to help your body get back to a natural level of testosterone. So there's some explaining to do. He will be at SummerSlam. There was some talk about, You know, Nevada State Athletic Commission obviously is going to suspend him. We don't know for how long yet. It's probably going to be 2 years, which will mean the end of his MMA career. Mm-hmm. And all the other states that are commission states, I mean, obviously in MMA, they will reinforce this. But New York State also, the commission also regulates pro wrestling. But the thing is, the wrestlers themselves do not have to get licenses. It's up to the promotions, and New York State probably will not care that Brock Lesnar's in a wrestling match. So he will have the match. But what I wonder about now is, do you think because of these drug issues with Lesnar, do you think that maybe WWE will now say Brock Lesnar's not going to win this match? Instead, we're going to have Randy Orton beat him.
I could see that. I could see them being a little gun-shy with Brock Lesnar now after, especially with the issues they've had in the past with steroids and how serious they've been about performance-enhancing drugs, you know?
Right, right. So I don't want to see it. And I know people could say, well, hell, why do you want them to push the guy that, you know, just use, you know, that's using PEDs? Because it's pro wrestling. Yep. You know, and Lesnar's a bigger star. And I know people are getting all over WWE because they put out the statement talking about, you know, the impact of Lesnar test positive. And he said, hey, he hasn't wrestled with us since WrestleMania. And the way that it is if you're not an active competitor with us right now, you're not subject to a drug test. So he didn't test positive for a drug test within WWE.
Yeah.
Which I know you can make your argument saying, oh, it's kind of lame or whatever. But you know what? At the same time, it is true. It's just kind of a go-around to the whole situation, and I can't blame them for it. I mean, it's a business move on their behalf.
Right. There's so many things that go into decisions like this. I think a lot of it will depend. I mean, keep in mind, Randy Orton is the returning star, and if they want to set him up to kind of be the face of SmackDown, and you know, along with John Cena and Dean Ambrose, it would make sense to have him beat the Raw guy. Being the SmackDown guy, beating the Raw guy would help SmackDown look more legitimate and Randy Orton look more legitimate. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be up in the air. And we'll see Randy Orton back at Battleground because he's being interviewed by Chris Jericho on that show. Mm-hmm. So
should be fun.
We'll see how this all shakes down. Disappointing night for the draft, but hopefully something good comes out of it that we do not see yet. And I want to see some more NXT talent coming up. But, you know, when it comes to SummerSlam, you and I are both going to be there covering it.
We will
be
there. We've made the plans. We've made the trip is going to happen, and we're going to be. I get to see you again in person and not over a microphone.
I know, right? So we're going to be doing. We will be covering the WWE 2K17 launch party, and we'll have interviews with WWE talent. We will be covering NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, and we'll be covering SummerSlam. So be expecting podcasts, a lot of live streaming videos, some other videos for YouTube.
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. YouTube Live doesn't launch till like September.
Uh-huh. We'll do Facebook Live. Periscope is old news. Follow us on Facebook.
Sure. Periscope is still doing okay.
We're going to be playing Pokemon Go in the city. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. Why not?
I got to catch up to Xavier Woods. He's a level 21, you know?
Did you see the craze? I guess some rare character popped up in Central Park, and like there was like 1,000 people, like
people were like abandoning their cars, just yes, dishing up.
He just pulled up and like abandoned his car.
Oh my gosh,
it's like, what's going on here, man?
Oh, it was beautiful.
So thanks again, everybody, for joining us for the podcast. I'll have another one coming up within the next day or so with Kevin Eck.
Oh, nice.
Former WWE creative team member. So I'll be talking to him about his thoughts about the draft and kind of like the backstage machinations from his experience of being on the creative team with WWE, which wasn't that too long ago. So appreciate everybody for listening, for downloading the podcast. Of course, you can find us on iTunes or on Stitcher. Please rate and review the podcast. We're also now on Google Play, and we're on SoundCloud as well. So you can listen to us there. You can download the podcast, and you can even embed it. You can share it. And spread the word about the podcast as well. That helps us out tremendously. Follow Mike on Twitter. It's at The Real Wiseman. Mm-hmm. I am at Brian Fritz. And, of course, you can follow at Between the Ropes as well. Feel free to have any kind of interaction with us. We're always open to having discussion and any questions or anything you have going forward. I think we're going to get back in the habit of throwing it out there to always take questions for the podcast every week as well.
In the works.
It's all in the works. So
we're going to chat about exclusively about the Republican National Convention and Total Divas. That's next week's show.
So. How are we not up in Cleveland right now covering the RNC?
There's a number of reasons why we're not.
Among the 15,000 members of the media that are there.
Oof. We weren't invited. That's why. Donald Trump. We were blacklisted by Donald Trump.
So. Yeah. Otherwise, it was going to be huge if we were going to be there.
he asked me to be a guest speaker, and I said, did you see Dana White, by the way? Did you see Dana White's?
Dana White didn't exactly endorse his friend. Well, he kind of endorsed him.
Yeah, he endorsed him. He said he's been his friend for a bazillion years, whatever.
Well, I think he said he wouldn't do business with him, but he is for him being president or something.
Which is weird.
Well, it wasn't a real endorsement like Scott Baio gave him.
Yeah.
Yep. And by the way, just so everybody knows, none of the comments that we had tonight were stolen from the First Lady's speech from 8 years ago.
Actually, all of my opinions on Raw were stolen from the First Lady we talked
about.
Damn
it!
Today, so.
I told you not to do that.
Oh, man.
So, all right, everybody. On that note, we're going to get out of here. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you!